stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, September 10th. A San Diego law firm is suing ICE over court arrests. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. The San Diego City Council voted yesterday to approve an $875,000 payout to a victim of police use of force. San Diego police officers say they were responding to a domestic violence call involving a handgun last fall. Bystander video shows 31-year-old Marcus Evans walking out of a house shirtless with his hands raised. Police later shot him with 3 beanbag rounds and released a canine who bit him repeatedly. In a written statement, Evans' attorney, Dante Pride, said, quote, "While we both agree that the settlement amount is not enough for the ordeal he faced, Mr. Evans decided to take a discount so that he can move on with his life and not face 3 years or more of litigation," end quote. County health officials say this week that mosquitoes in the City Heights and Skyline neighborhoods tested positive for West Nile virus. To help reduce mosquito activity in the neighborhood, the county's vector control program will be inspecting and treating breeding sites. There have been no reported human cases of West Nile virus in the county this year. The county says people can help protect themselves by preventing or disposing of any stagnant water and reporting dead animal sightings. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
A San Diego law firm filed a class action lawsuit against ICE, arguing that federal agents are breaking the law when they arrest asylum seekers at immigration court. Reporter Gustavo Solis spoke to one of the lawyers.
It was a shocking scene back in May when masked ICE agents arrested asylum seekers at the immigration court downtown.
Step back.
Since then, the previously unthinkable practice has become commonplace. It also may be illegal, according to Kimberly Hutchison, a San Diego civil rights lawyer.
We're asking the judge to declare that the agency's behavior is unlawful.
Her law firm, Singleton Schreiber, filed a class action lawsuit last week on behalf of two asylum seekers who ICE agents arrested in the hallway outside their courtroom. The lawsuit argues that these arrests violate the rights of asylum seekers and delegitimize the legal process.
You can't just take away someone's liberty without giving the process to determine whether that's an appropriate decision. And so they're doing it across the board, and that's a violation of due process.
ICE officials did not respond to questions about the lawsuit. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
County supervisors gave the green light to public health and economic impact studies in areas around the Tijuana River Valley in a vote yesterday. They say the findings could help reveal the broader consequences of the cross-border sewage crisis. The county will also assess what it will take to fix a hotspot in the Tijuana River. The hotspot is where scientists say the largest source of toxic gases and chemicals are becoming airborne. Paloma Aguirre is the supervisor who proposed the measures. She says the county can do more now to help residents.
But at the end of the day, we have a mandate and a responsibility to protect the public health of our constituents here in San Diego County.
Specifics like costs have yet to be determined. The Veteran Affairs Secretary was in San Diego yesterday to recognize local staff members and tour the VA Medical Center. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer has more.
VA Secretary Doug Collins made a splash earlier this year when he announced the agency would cut 80,000 jobs. That plan was abandoned this summer, and the agency said a reduction of 30,000 staffers would come this year via early retirements. Last month, the Trump administration canceled the union contracts for more than 400,000 VA staffers. Collins says staff shouldn't feel less supported despite the loss of those collective bargaining rights.
We value our employees more than anything else. We want them to have a work environment which they want to be at. So if their connection was more to the union than to the VA, then that's an issue that they would have to deal with.
According to the VA's Inspector General, the agencies had a 50% increase in severe occupational staffing shortages since last year, with 80% of VA facilities reporting severe nurse shortages. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
E-bikes are a great way to give kids the mobility they need to be independent. They can also be dangerous. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge has this look at how a new breed of bike is changing the lives of kids and the streets of San Diego.
School's out at Olympian High School in Chula Vista, and a lot of kids who are heading home through a big back gate are getting home on their bikes. And these bikes, nearly all of them, carry a big battery that drives an e-bike motor. One student e-biker is called Aiden.
I have to ride home every day, and I live about like a mile and a half away. So riding a normal bike would take very long, as well as the uphill.
None of the bikers here are popping wheelies or endangering pedestrians, but most ER doctors will tell you e-bikes are a reason why bike injuries are on the rise. The chief of trauma surgery at Scripps Mercy Hospital says his hospital used to count e-bike and e-motorcycle injuries in the dozens every year. Now they're in the hundreds. The head of trauma medicine at Rady Children's Hospital is Romeo Ignacio, who says e-bikes have made bike accidents more serious. Often it's no longer a case for the ER, but a case for the operating room.
Most times when we see bicycle injuries, they don't really warrant a trauma surgeon or a trauma team to see them. But the e-bikes have definitely are much more fast, much more difficult for some kids to control. And so the injuries are much more severe, especially in relation to head injuries.
E-bike motors give an electronic boost to a bike's pedal action, and many also have a throttle that will run the bike 20 miles an hour without pedaling. Class 3 e-bikes will power that pedal assist up to 28 miles an hour. Dr. Vishal Bansal, the trauma surgery chief at Scripps Mercy, this week attended a press conference with law enforcement, pointing out the potential danger of electric two-wheelers. Both he and Dr. Ignacio said e-bikes can go even faster when they're mods, when they have modified motors.
You might sell a bike that has a limit of 20 to 25 miles an hour. I guarantee you these kids are going to modify it to go faster.
But I didn't speak to anybody who thought they could just wish e-bikes away. Everyone seemed to agree that education was key to keeping kids safe. And that's what cycling instructor Jeffrey Schnoor tries to do.
And I think e-bikes are great because they really improve people's mobility options. Whether you're a child and you may not be able to get up a hill biking, instead of having to dismount and walk up, you can just bike right up.
Schnoor was one of the instructors who showed up in a parking lot Saturday morning in Solana Beach. About 10 kids, most of them with e-bikes, also came to learn how to ride them safely. The class last weekend was hosted by the San Diego County Bike Coalition and the city of Solana Beach. It began indoors with a class relevant to any bike trying to navigate local streets. An instructor showed slides of streets and traffic scenarios. Questions included, how do you make a left turn on a multi-lane road? How do you stay out of the door zone where a car door thrown open can endanger a cyclist? Outside, kids practiced some cycling drills before they all went for a short road trip.
I think the thing that makes you the most safe as a cyclist is being conspicuous and being predictable.
Being conspicuous sometimes means taking the whole traffic lane a car would occupy. That can be done easier with an e-bike, which can better match the speed of a car. Cycling instructor Ron Dashwood uses an example from his hometown of Encinitas.
So if you're on residential streets, the speed limit's 20 miles an hour. An e-bike, a class one e-bike, can go 20 miles an hour. So you can be taking the lane on a residential street and you're going the speed limit.
Ella Gutman is a North County teenager taking the cycling class. She says her e-bike has given her a sense of responsibility and independence.
It's really fun as a kid because like I can't really go places that far away by myself because I can't drive and stuff. But with electric vehicles like e-bikes, it's a lot easier to do that.
Ella's dad, Tomer Gutman, said it took a while before he was comfortable with Ella on an e-bike, but he sees the upside now.
If the child can take care of themselves and go to after-school activities or friends, it's gonna help parents and myself, be my wife, you know, be able to address other things instead of just being a taxi driver all afternoon.
The city of Carlsbad will hold a meeting next week to determine whether it should prohibit the use of e-bikes for kids under age 12. Chula Vista has done that already. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
The city this week announced the winner of its annual Mayor for a Day contest. The winner for this year, chosen from 47 other applications, is none other than 8th grader Landry Lynn Squab Gage. As temporary mayor, Landry will have a busy schedule. She'll deliver remarks to the city council before heading to briefings, then join officials at the Central Library and Fire Station 1, then his lunch with Todd Gloria, as well as a tour of police headquarters and the new Terminal 1. The program was launched by Mayor Todd Gloria in 2022 to foster and encourage leadership in young San Diegans. Be the change you want to see, Landry. That is it for the pod today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.